time. We can gather together and celebrate what you've done. Lord, I pray that you'd open up our hearts and our ears to hear what you would have for us, Lord. That we might receive, that we might be encouraged, that we might be challenged to grow, or that we might repent where repentance is needed. Lord, in order that we can know you and experience eternal life. So, Father, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
I can't believe what just happened. Someone else, yes. But not me. Not me, not the thinking one. Not the one that lives for silver. Even me. Even me. My name is Judah. And I'm from Hebron, which is 20 miles south of the holy city, Jerusalem. And I've come here to the temple today on the anniversary. The anniversary of that one called Jesus of Nazareth. I came out of curiosity. I came with many doubts. And yet something just happened to me. See, I'm from Hebron, a city of great repute. You see, it's at Hebron is the burial place of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, of Ruth. It is here at this city, my home city, where King David set up his kingdom for 7.5 years. Before establishing it in Jerusalem. You see, all my life, I have heard and lived and experienced religion. Familiar with not only our traditions, but familiar with the cults of Mithras or Sibyl, the religions of the East. I know of the Greek god and pantheon. I'm aware of Roman religion. Yet they all seem so empty. sacrifice to a God of your choice and appease your conscience so all may go well with you. So that you will win favor with the gods. It seems so weak. It seems like such a crutch. You see, I've always been one who's spoken my mind and always been one who is ambitious. And I've done well. I've done well in the city as a builder. But even our traditions seem empty to me. Don't get me wrong. I know that there is one God and not 50. I know that He's not capricious. I know that He created all the world. Yet He seems so distant, so far away. And it seems the system of laws and regulations and the religion that our leaders preach seems so unlike this God. Well, I married a woman of my hometown and we followed our desires and moved to the big city, to Jerusalem, in order that I might pursue business. And oh, how things went fabulous until that day 15 years ago. When she passed. We had two small children. And at that moment, I had enough. Enough of the God of our fathers. If He couldn't even save my wife, then He wasn't worthy to be worshipped. And so I threw myself into my business yet again. This time with even more zeal. Things settled down to a state of normalcy and I did something I never thought I would do. I remarried a wonderful woman named Martha, who took in those two children as if they were her own. Did a wonderful job. She was much like me, of a secular mindset, but from a religious family, knew the traditions of our fathers, but we were so enjoying our life together there in Jerusalem. And then it happened. The man named Jesus of Nazareth came into the city one day. And the city was in an uproar. As they hailed Him as the coming King, as He traversed into the city, they threw palm fronds on the ground and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." No, I wasn't there, but I heard. Jesus. From what I know, I've heard He's a carpenter, an ordinary man. Man of trade. But the stories. The stories of this man, Jesus. Oh. heard once there was a man who was a paralytic and laid on a mat. And the Pharisees objected to Jesus forgiving him his sins. And Jesus turned to them and said, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or rise, take your mat and go?" And as the story goes, Jesus looked at them indignantly and then looked at the man with compassion. "Take your mat and go." And the man got up and walked away. I've heard of stories of this man, Jesus, healing those who were born blind. I've heard stories where He's cast out demons. The marvelous works in which He performed. I just had to go hear Him. At least once. Oh, the stories didn't do Him justice. I didn't see Him perform any miracles that day. But I heard Him speak. And He spoke differently. He spoke as if one who had the very authority of God Himself. There was such compassion and love in His teaching. The Pharisees, leaders and scribes and Sadducees and others of the Sanhedrin, they didn't like this man, Jesus. Oh, how they hated Him. But you should have heard Jesus debate. "Never have I heard a man such as this." And oh, how the Pharisees walked away. Set on killing Him. Well, they did, you know. They trumped up some false charges, and Jesus was crucified. Such a shame. Such a wonderful man. A great teacher, healer. Maybe even the one who was to come that our fathers so instructed us to look out for. So, I thought that was the end of it all. But shortly thereafter, there was a stir in the city. Martha was among the crowd. And the way she tells it, a huge crowd gathered. And Jesus' followers stood up and began to speak in other tongues, declaring the praises of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they did it in the name of Jesus. And one of His followers, I don't know who, I think his name might be Peter, stood up and cried out to all the people that this happening that they were seeing was not a result of drunkenness, but was a result of God's Spirit being poured out. That Jesus of Nazareth, though crucified, had risen from the dead. Martha believed. I tried my best when she came home to talk her out of it. Thought to myself, resurrection from the dead. Who's heard of such a thing? It's not rational. Have you ever seen someone come back from the dead? What about my first wife? What about my first wife? As I sat there and looked at her dead corpse, everything within me wanted her to come back to life. I prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but nothing. Nothing but a corpse. Yes, I've heard the stories. And I've been watching Martha very closely. She's different. She's changing. I was always the religious one of the family, the one who would go to different events or even go to temple at times. She was always disinterested, but now she has a hunger for God. She can't stop talking about God. She has a passion for God. And she says that this Jesus Christ has forgiven her her sins and has come and made His abode within her. So you can imagine a thinking man such as myself, having never experienced such, what am I to do? So I allowed her to continue meeting on weekly with this group of followers, and they were not few. The last count I heard, there were 5,000 of them. 5,000 of them in a city of 40,000. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the stir? Well, I thought long and hard about these things, but how can it be true? How can it be true? So one day, not long after that, I saw someone running through the streets. And I ran and I grabbed him. Where are you going? Where are you going? What are you doing? And he said he was going to the temple, for there had been a great miracle. He said the cripple who lay sitting there by the gate, beautiful, now no longer is crippled, but is walking. I had seen that man dozens of times myself. And so I hurried to the temple. And there before my very eyes was this crippled man laughing, leaping, praising God, apparently healed by the followers of this Jesus. I must be honest with you, my heart within my chest bounced. Could this be it? Could this Jesus really be who He says He was? And that now His resurrected power is given to those who follow Him. And so I listened that day like I'd never listened before. How could I deny? There He was in front of me. No longer lame, no longer crippled, but praising the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the speaker said something that day. I was livid. He stood up. And he said, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate. It was almost as if that man was calling me a sinner. As if I were responsible for this man's death. I wasn't there. What did I have to do with it? What nerve of that man to say that I have caused this man's death? I know it's sin. I know that our whole sacrificial system is constructed somehow to alleviate sin. How dare he say that? Maybe people of weaker intelligence, less resolve, people who need to perhaps appease their conscience, maybe that's okay for them, but not for me. You see, if it was really true that this Jesus of Nazareth came and died and was raised to life for the forgiveness of sins, then surely, surely it would say it in the Old Testament scriptures. Surely God would have told us of this one to come. And it happened. I can't believe it happened. You see, though I am a secular man, I still had certain passages of Scripture that I occasionally would read and dabble into, and so I looked at other religions and made all kinds of excuses. And I read this passage from the prophet Isaiah. And he spoke thus. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. How could he bear our griefs? Carry our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. who is this one, I thought, that Scripture is talking about? Is it the prophet? Is it someone to come? Is it an animal? But then I continued to read. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray, Isaiah said. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. But it was this line: yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for transgressors. How can a dead man make intercession for transgressors? How can this be? That defies all rational thought. That a dead man would somehow make intercession for those who have sinned. And so I came here to the temple after reading that passage. Martha didn't know. And I heard them talk about this Jesus, this one who was dead, but who is now alive. And I fell on my knees. And I cried out, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you who have fulfilled the Scripture in your Son Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Oh, how I had resisted. Teased Martha. Thought up every excuse I could think of to make her angry. How can God be in a man, and man be in God, and they be all one together? How can there be a God of a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit? Explain that to me, Martha. What about these other religions? What about all the false claims about Jesus? And yet it happened. I believed. And I knew it couldn't have been for me. How could I believe something so fantastic? But I do. And it's true. It is true that this Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. And He has changed me. Oh, I must go and tell Martha. Oh, I must go tell Martha that I too am now a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. That my sins are forgiven. It's a new day for me here. What a day. The anniversary of His resurrection. And now within my own heart, in my own spirit, a resurrection has taken place. I must go tell everyone I see. He's risen. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed.